Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hola, Sammy Sosa here.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Sammy Sosa is here. He's in Chicago. He will be at the Cubs convention tonight. And David will be there. And you will be talking to Sammy, the audio of which will be played tomorrow, the Inside the Clubhouse show with David and our guy Bruce Levine and
Ryan McGuffey
and Guff's going to do it too.
Guff, he does a great job. 9 to noon, we have a full schedule of guests, including the Sosa interview, which will be conducted tonight. And we're scheduled to talk to Justin Steele, Kyle Tucker, Tom Ricketts, and Crane Kenny. So a lot of good Cub conversation. The Sosa presence will be exciting for Cub fans. I have heard from people on both sides of the Sammy ledger in terms of their opinions of him coming back. Some people are just really anticipating a great welcome. And I've had heard from some people who are looking forward to coming there to boo him. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's still polarizing to a certain segment of the fan base, perhaps, but I think that he is going to be there. It's going to be very exciting. And at some point, Jed Hoyer will speak today to the assembled Cubs media and address how urgent the tone will be in 2025.
Brings a whole new thought process to the idea of slamming Sammy.
Well, there will be some people there that go to the convention with the sole purpose of slamming Sammy.
Okay, that's interesting. Very interesting.
Well played.
Is he the biggest attraction at the Cubs convention because of the number of years since he's been around, or is it the arrival of Kyle Tucker? Where would you rate them? And I think that's one too, and I think it might be in that order. I think it might be Sammy getting slammed.
Well, I think given Cub fans, they typically nod to nostalgia, and there's a huge element of what they have been missing with Sammy Sosa somewhat exiled from the organization. Mm-hmm. So I think that the Sammy presence trumps everything else. And it is going to be probably the biggest surprise or the biggest spectacle that is created over the weekend. Now, if you're talking from a baseball perspective, certainly Sammy has nothing to do with this current team or season. That is where Kyle Tucker comes in.
Yes.
So for people who are wanting to hear from Jed Hoyer, Tom Ricketts, or whoever about the plans for 2025, how are you going to spend the money that you saved with trading Cody Bellinger? That is the meat on the bone. That is where I think will be the substance of the weekend. You want to hear from the people in charge about what the plans are and where expectations should be for 2025.
So it is Sammy with all the home runs and everything he did, and didn't he win an MVP in 98 or something? And then it's Kyle Tucker, and that's kind of the marquee addition.
That's funny. I have, you know, if you're thinking about parts of your brain, I don't even have those two things
connected.
Okay. Like I really compartmentalize. And when I think about interviewing Sammy Sosa, for instance, and preparing for that and seeing what that's going to be like, my mind doesn't even go to this season. It doesn't even have anything to do with this team. So it's a much different kind of mindset.
But and it's a Cubs fan convention.
Yeah, it is. So you fan yourself out. I mean, go out and do your bowing, do your booing, do whatever makes you feel comfortable. That's Sammy. He's back. Now, pause. Go and get a cup of coffee, get a drink, whatever you want. You come back, and now, all right, let's talk Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker coming to the Cubs is a game changer. At the time he was traded here, I thought that would be something that you looked at and you said, well, you know what? That's going to make the biggest impact on what to expect this season. And then they traded Cody Bellinger. Still can be true, but there's work to do.
But Kyle Tucker is a guy who is heading to a massive payday. Like, we're talking, you know, we know what the numbers were in the last couple off seasons for the premier guy.
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to get that payday, and I'm sure he's after it, he's going to have to put up one of the all-time years, right? He's going to have to perform in a manner in which teams are anxious to stand in line and pay him.
Well, I think he's going to have a Kyle Tucker type of season. Maybe better than that.
I think he needs to have the best season he's had. I think.
But he's a player that he's trending in that direction.
Yes.
And so that's what's exciting about the Cubs getting him, is that he is the player that's going to be at the top of the WAR measurements and rankings. He's going to be the guy that can go into free agency and with a straight face have his representatives talk about $500 million in terms of the next contract he seeks. I don't think that will be the Cubs. And I don't think there's a connection between the Cubs compromising and paying him $16.5 million next year because they were at 15, he was at 17, they met at 16.5. I think that's good because it's a good faith gesture, but I don't think it has anything to do with increasing the likelihood that they will pony up $500 million to sign him once he hits the open market.
I do agree with that, but I'm saying that if he wants to have the kind of payday he's looking for, and he is looking for it, then he's going to have the kind of year that would make them reconsider that. I think that he should have a phenomenal year. I expect great things from him because of the situation he's in.
He definitely should.
And because he's a great player.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
Now, he'll be motivated. He's in a contract year, so what you said is usually true. People do rise to the occasion when they know they're about to get paid. And so that's where I think the Cubs made a lot of us believe they were in a position to take advantage of that, to realize that, recognize what's at stake in 2025 to him, and then by virtue of him being there, your team. And that urgent tone that I spoke of, now you look at, well, you've got Kyle Tucker in a contract year. You've got Jed Hoyer in a contract year.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of reasons to say we're going all in 2025 because the present matters more than the future. That can be reflected in moves that you make and signings that you still could make. Alex Bregman, who could play third base. Right now, our next guest at 825, Matt Shaw, is probably penciled in there. But you would like probably some protection, and anytime you can get an all-star third baseman, you'd probably sign him. So are you in on that? You need another starter. You need a closer.
You need a closer.
Yeah. So I think that you look at some of those things that are still, it feels like unfinished business if you are Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins.
So Sammy is an entity of its own.
Yep.
Kyle Tucker's arrival, that's a big story.
Yep.
What happens with the team? Is the how do you look going into spring training, or are you spending the Bellinger money or pocketing it? What is the next, or is it checking in with a Dansby Swanson, with a Nico Hoerner, guys that have had surgery and you're not sure when they'll be available?
You wonder if they're going to be ready for opening day.
I mean, what is the next order of business in your mind?
Pitching.
Okay.
Where are you in the free agent market in terms of a closer. Is this the year, because of what I described, an outlier in that you would overpay potentially for a closer in free agency? You know, if you would trade for a closer that you might be willing to pay. You know, the Cubs like to trust the back of their bullpen and the committee, and Tommy Hotovy, our pitching coach buddy, does a great job of getting everybody ready for those big moments. But do you trust Ben Brown going into the season if he's your closer? I don't know, because of his propensity to get injured. He was a great prospect, and he was headed in the right direction until something happened with his neck and his back last year that were very mysterious and unexpected. So I don't know if you ever have enough pitching. So they're a closer short. They could probably use another starter. And, you know,
so
Tanner Scott's the closer out there that I think you talk about the Cubs getting. And I don't know what the conversation's been like on the Fly the W podcast, Dustin, but that's the guy that I think a lot of people have identified as one of the more sought after guys and would love to see the Cubs land.
He's definitely up there. You know, I think, though, there were some good points made by our earlier caller about a couple of guys that we don't know exactly what their status is. We asked Tommy Hotovy about, you know, Ben Brown.
Yeah.
You know, is he a starter? Is he a reliever? And if he's a reliever, is he the type of guy that you could give the ball to in the ninth inning?
Well, I don't know. They don't know.
Cade Horton.
Until you do.
Right? Same kind
Cade
of.
Cade Horton is.
We asked those questions.
He's a starter. I don't think he's got bullpen written all over him. Okay. I'd like to see him stay healthy.
Right.
He has not
health
progressed
would be a big,
because
right,
of
health would
the
be
health.
A great thing.
Health would be good.
So, yeah, there are two different things in play here. There's, and, so, and 815, I just want to address this real quick.
Yeah.
Haw is full of it. No one has told him that they're going to boo Sammy. He made that up 100%. You can disagree with me. That's fine. We're not going to agree on certain things. I don't lie, okay?
If someone told you something and you said something.
I got two emails yesterday and one mess DM on Twitter about a group that is a supposedly, according to these messages, 14 to 20 deep of a group that have gathered and unified and are planning to go there and boo Sammy. So there are groups that maybe it's just one, maybe they're not good, but they have told me that. I'm not making that up. Well, there are people that are not happy about Sammy. It's a small group of people. I get it, but small can be rowdy and loud.
Crowley and Dustin, will you be booing?
He's on the phone.
No shot.
No shot.
He wouldn't even look at us.
Okay, that's good.
So where does Matt Shaw fit in to this kind of conversation about the stars of the convention? In other words, at this point, he's one of the key pieces. Now, as you mentioned, if they were to sign someone, if his role were not as obvious as it is right now, does that shift and change? Could that shift and change? Could he be a big star heading into the convention and maybe a lesser of interest when you get to the training camp?
Matt Shaw is, the best way to put it in Cubby terms, is that he's this year's PCA.
Yeah.
He's this year's Pete Crow Armstrong. The highly touted prospect, the draft pick. Now, PCA was somebody else's draft pick, but Matt Shaw was your former first-round draft pick, the guy that comes straight out of Central Casting and is going to start in the Cub infield if they don't get any other veteran like Bregman. But a guy that they trust based on the way that he has ascended quickly through the system.
And with the U.S. national team.
Team USA was a great experience for Matt Shaw. Yeah. He was one of the more dangerous hitters.
Yep.
He brings his bat, and it looks big league ready. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that at third base, he's not a natural third baseman. I don't like that term. I just use it as a crutch. But he's a natural middle infielder. He's converting to third base. We'll ask him at 825 whether or not he agrees with that assessment and how the transition has gone, but he's a guy they have a lot of expectations for, and so far he looks like he's able to handle them both physically, emotionally, and mentally. But Molly, I think that when you're a Cub fan, you're looking at this critically. You worry about four guys in that lineup every day that may be prone to inconsistency and might be unproven. Shaw, PCA, Michael Bush, and Miguel Amaya.
What about the jersey? Where does the new colors, the Chicago Blues, but very pale blue?
They unveiled that yesterday. They're going to wear that every Friday at home or Saturday at home.
Dustin said he wanted to talk about it earlier.
Yeah, It's a powder blue.
It's like a 70s. It's like a 70s. It's a 70s okay. blue. Remember, but they had the blue with the white pinstripe?
Yeah, I do remember
like
that. But when I look at it with the circle and the logo and the insignia, I think Expos. I don't want to think Expos.
Very good comp. Very
but
good
I look
comp.
In there and I'm thinking,
I'd love
that
to see Andre Dawson in it to really slam, like, to really nail
you
it.
You have
to
seen
the
Andre Dawson in it when he played for the Expos.
Okay. I meant this one, David.
What, Dustin, do you like that? Do you like that uni? You said that.
I do. I would get a jersey of it. I'm not a jersey guy. I don't own jerseys. I would get a jersey of it. It wouldn't be number zero, David.
Yeah. Well, okay. We're mixing our arguments here. What jersey would you get if you're a PCA guy all the way? You'd get PCA.
Well, for the current team, right. I mean, I did say that PCA will be the biggest star in Chicago sports at one point.
Didn't you, when did you say, what year is that supposed to be? Is it supposed to be this year?
5 years.
I think.
Is it 2025?
We have to go back. I don't know if the whole question's in the answer.
Might be. So you'd go PCA. Who would you get? I know you wouldn't get one. if I got a jersey of a Cub guy.
If someone donated to, end hunger, I'd wear it.
Okay.
2028 to answer the question.
Well, that's
my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
All right.
Wow, look at that.
So Dustin would go PCA.
He's still there. He's still alive.
I would have gone Bellinger all the way. They traded that guy.
Wow, you and Bellinger.
I just liked him. I don't think they should have gotten rid of him.
I'd probably go with Sammy.
I think right now.
I was just kidding.
If you're saying who's your favorite player on the Cubs, I hope they don't trade him. I like Nico Horner.
Is he going to play this year? How bad is he? Are we going to get a total?
Well, he'll be on today, so we're going to find out.
We'll find out.
He'll be on today.
Nico Horner's my favorite Cub now. Now that they got rid of Bellinger, I think Nico Horner's my favorite Cub. I have a lot of respect for PCA. He's a great interview. He's a great guest.
I didn't realize that Bellinger was your favorite Cub. That's pretty interesting.
Not anymore.
Well, I understand. He's your favorite Yankee now.
No, he's not.
We know that.
Bellinger's his favorite ex-Cub. Roquan Smith's his favorite ex-Bear.
That's right.
Who's your favorite ex-Blackhawk, David?
Oh,
that plays in
Patrick
the league.
Kane.
Patrick
got 8
Kane.
Points
I could
have, in 5
I could
nights.
Have answered my own question.
Goodness sakes.
How about your favorite ex-Bull?
Favorite ex-Bull. Who?
Jimmy. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we were tight. Yeah.
What about White Sox?
Oh.
Yeah, never mind.
Never mind.
Probably Mark Burley.
The future Cub, Moncada.
Mark Burley.
Not Moncada. Who would be my favorite ex-White Sox player or pitcher? Kopech.
Yeah, I think it means they're playing right now, so that's part of the So Kopech works.
No. My favorite ex White Sox. I like Dylan Cease, but I'm a burger guy.
Oh yeah, you
Jake
were a burger guy. Yeah.
Big burger guy. I was a big burger fan.
Ranch on a burger, David?
Oh, definitely ranch on a burger. I'm getting hungry. Ranch on a burger on a Friday, nothing better.
Ooh,
a little cheat meal.
That's the man that doesn't eat hot dogs.
But there's a big difference between ground beef.
I had hot dogs. I ate 2 hot dogs this week.
You did? On purpose?
Whoa.
Yeah.
You lose a bet?
Where were you?
Home.
Where's the game?
Home.
Oh.
Were they Armor hot dogs?
They were not. They were Nathan's.
That was a week. That was a week, Sammy. I did a week, Sammy.
Yeah, it's okay.
I
think Hola. We understood. Sammy Sosa here, and I love Armor hot dog.
I think
so
we
much.
I
love
understood
Armor hot dogs.
The reference.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not grody.
Will Mitch have a plate of Armor hot dogs tonight when you guys talk to
Mitch
Sammy?
Mitch is
going to
think of everything. I don't know if he could get one, and that would be funny.
You don't think you can get a hot dog at the Sheraton Grand? Come on.
Not an Armor hot dog.
Oh, the hot dog.
Maybe you might have
to bring your own Armor and then have them whip it up for you.
I'll pick them up on the way over. I'll just go,
you got tons of time.
Can you get an Armor hot dog anymore?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
No. I'm still kind of processing that you ate a Nathan's hot. So here's the deal. I can't imagine going to the store and buying Nathan's hot dog.
They were on sale at the Jewels.
They're on sale at the Jewels.
I have a steamer. I have an old school, like Coca-Cola classic look steamer that I got from the family at Christmas time 2 years ago.
Nice.
The kids love it. They say that the hot dogs from the steamer taste like the ones at Wrigley that you get in like the what do you call it? Like in the bag, mm-hmm. you know, that the vendors yes. that the vendors throw to you and then hand you a little mustard. It's busy. Like weeknights are busy. Like there's dance, yes. there's
activities.
So it's like it's a quick and everybody can eat when they want to eat kind of thing.
Am I wrong to have thought of Nathan's hot dogs as with like a very distinct skin to them?
Well, there's a snap. It's
like
a snap
really
dog.
Chewy skin.
It's a snap
skin.
Dog. But the skin, the steam does kind of soften
oh,
the snap.
Oh, it softens.
Riveting.
Okay.
Riveting stuff.
I wouldn't want a snappy hot dog. I don't like eating the
I'm nauseous skin. Just thinking about
it. I'm actually thinking about, I have to be in Rosemont later today, and I'm thinking about on the way home going down River Road and hitting Gene and Jude's. The best hot dog in the Chicagoland area.
Knock yourself out.
No ketchup. You cannot. They do not have ketchup in the building. No ketchup.
All right. We got Matt Shaw is going to join us next. We'll get a chance to talk to the man up next.
Yes.
Not just on our show, but up next for the Chicago Cubs. We'll talk to Matt Shaw when we return. Mully and Haw on the Score.
I'm not a big hot dog guy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
With the 13th pick of the 2023 MLB Draft, the Chicago Cubs select Matthew Shaw.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
Fly ball hit to deep left field. This may go. It is gone. Matt Shaw goes deep.
He can play second well. He can play third well. I think, you know, right now, obviously, you know, we're going to give him a long look at third.
1-2 pitch to Nunez. A swing and a line drive caught by Shaw.
How about that? Matt Shaw flashing the leather, pick it, throw
Chicago
it.
Chicago is where I wanted to go.
To have an opportunity like this, you know, once in a lifetime really is amazing. So, you know, I couldn't be more excited about everything that's up and coming.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome in Matt Shaw, the Cubs prospect, joins us now on The Score Hotline brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Matt, good morning. How you doing?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
We are living the dream, and it's going to be a fun weekend for you at the Cubs convention. What are your thoughts about the way you'll be received? You are obviously a top prospect. You're a man that looks like he has an important role on this team. How much are you looking forward to this, and how do you think it's going to go down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're definitely looking forward to it. I'm here with my fiance here, so we're definitely looking forward to a good weekend. You know, we've already met some of the fans, and, you know, they're so excited, and everyone's excited. So, my gosh, I mean, it's going to be awesome. I'm actually looking out to the Chicago skyline right now. So, you know, I think it's just a lot of excitement from the team. I know they released some sweet jerseys last night, so everyone's really excited. I'm excited to see the guys, and it's going to be a good weekend.
Well, Matt, welcome to town, and I think it's interesting and exciting for a lot of Cub fans because of what your projected role could be on the 2025 team. We heard coming in you were just drafted in 2023. It's been a quick trip through the minors. What have the Cubs said to you about the kind of opportunity that could be ahead of you in 2025?
It's a great question. Definitely a common question I'm getting is, hey, what are the Cubs saying to you? And my answer is pretty consistent that I hear just as much as about everybody else hears, you know, when it comes to this type of stuff. So as much as I wish I had some insider trading to give you guys, I really don't. So it's really just kind of keep working and getting ready for the season. And hopefully there's an opportunity to play third base. And, you know, it's my job to be ready for that.
So you were the Southern League MVP last year, which is pretty awesome. You're currently number 22 on MLB Pipeline top 100 list. And it looks like there is an opportunity for you to start at third base. At least that is the plan. Are you monitoring what they're doing in terms of different rumors going around? Are they going to sign somebody else? Or do you feel like that's your job?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely monitor. Obviously, I would love to play third base. You sign a big free agent, and all of a sudden, everything shifts. And that's, you know, that's the nature of baseball. It's the nature of professional sports. And I'm well aware of that. But at the same time, you know, I hope that they, you know, have the same faith in me, and that they'll at least give me that opportunity to win that job. So, you know, for me, there's obviously nothing in that I can control. I mean, I can't control if they sign Alex Bregman, or I can't control if they bring in whomever. But, you know, the thing I can control is to be ready for the season and obviously to come out strong here in February 20th when we play our first game and rock and roll. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. And, you know, at some point you just hope that, you know, they have faith in you as a player, and that's really all you can ask for.
So, Matt, you were one of the leaders on Team USA in standouts over the winter, and I just wonder what that experience was like and what you'll remember most, and how much your success at that level made you feel more equipped to handle Major League pitching.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we got to play, you know, the Japanese All-Star team pretty much, minus maybe Sasaki and a few other guys. And, you know, I played with obviously some really, really good players, some big leaguer guys that were, you know, on our team. And so it was an amazing experience, you know, being able to be in that environment in Japan with, you know, the fans, and, you know, it was some really exciting games that we got to play there. You know, 30 and 40,000 fans there in the dome, which, you know, is definitely a loud place to play. But it was just overall, it was really nice to get those game reps at third, playing in front of big crowds, playing against really talented players, you know, Venezuela team, the Japan team, and the Chinese Taipei team. So, you know, overall, it was exactly what I felt I needed for the off season, was to get some more reps at third, get comfortable there. You know, hoping that an opportunity like thus far in the off season has presented itself would still be there by the time the season comes around. So, yeah, that's kind of what we're looking forward to.
You hit .412 in that tourney, and you had a tourney high 14 RBIs with 24 total bases. That's like, I mean, you really went off, right? I mean, you really must have felt comfortable playing at third base to lead that team to a bronze medal the way you did.
Yeah, I mean, it all kind of, it definitely, you know, defense is usually what I'm talking about because, you know, it's something I care a lot about. But, you know, offensively, I felt really good. That's something where, you know, offense obviously has its ups and downs naturally, a little bit different than defense. So, you know, that's why I spend a lot more time talking about defense. But, you know, offense for me, just trying to stay consistent. And, you know, we had some great hitters that I got to hit in front of and behind, which was awesome. You know, Chandler Simpson, Ryan Ward, you know, two really talented players. So, you know, it was definitely extremely, extremely fun, exciting thing to be over there. And then, you know, the process of hitting is, you know, never changes, whether you're in Japan, whether you're in spring training in minor leagues, in the major leagues. So, you know, just staying with that process and staying consistent was helpful no matter where I am.
So when you were the Big Ten Player of the Year at Maryland in 2023, it wasn't as a third baseman. This is a converted position for you. Just wonder, where are you most comfortable? And could you conceivably, you know, you said it, you never know how it's going to go on a major league roster. It's still the offseason. Some people could be moved. Would you be comfortable playing any infield position at the major league level defensively?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that you always kind of hope is that you get to train there and spend some time there. And that's been the truth about third base was I've been able to spend a lot of time there and train there and get prepared to play third base, which has been really great. But you know, I played short in college, so I feel comfortable there. And I played a second a lot growing up as well. So I feel comfortable there. So, you know, I think, third base would be my most comfortable at this point in my career, just with how much I've played there over the last year and a half and how much I've practiced there in the last two off seasons. But, you know, I think infield is infield, and if you continue to get reps and get prepared for a certain position, you'll be ready to play there. And that being said, you know, I think you look at our middle infield and you see two of the best middle infielders really in all of baseball. So, you know, it's obviously extremely exciting to be able to play with those type of players who, you know, year in and year out are some of the best defenders in all of baseball. And I really don't think that's arguable by any means. So being able to be with those guys and pick their brain and learn what they're doing is an amazing and super exciting process, especially for a young guy. And then trying to, you know, take that and move it into my game at third base and see how, you know, I can start to grow in different ways from what they're giving me.
So, Matt, you're 23 years old. You turned 23 in November. You're a very young man. And I just wonder, do you watch tape of any third baseman? Are there any old guys how are you in terms of your preparation? Do you base your game on somebody that you watched? Is the hot corner significantly different than playing other positions, and has looking at particular players helped you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I obviously you watch players like Bregman. I mean, maybe a little ironically, but he won the Gold Glove and he's an amazing defender and a great player. You watch, you know, obviously the best of our time, Arenado. And, you know, the list goes on of, you know, even going back to A-Rod, who is really a better third baseman than I think anyone sometimes gives him credit for, thinking of him more as a hitter. But, you know, you mix that. And then with USA, getting to be with some really awesome coaches that were extremely helpful and have, you know, 15, 20, 25 years of major league experience. On the coaching side, which is really special. So for me, that was awesome to pick their brains. And honestly, they gave me a lot of good information that, you know, kind of helped me there was a lot of areas that I wasn't as well versed as I wish I was. But going into that, they started to kind of help me work through some things and add some things to my game at third base. And that was extremely helpful. So, you know, mixing that with watching players and kind of taking all the information, kind of putting it into one plan at third base, you know, because everyone feels differently. So putting it into one plan that makes sense for me is a process. But, you know, I think that especially the USA event really kind of helped take that process to a new level for me, and that was exciting.
So, Matt, if this thing goes a certain way, you're going to be on the north side this spring according to your best plans and scenarios. So how familiar are you with Chicago? Have you been here before? What do you like about the city? And did you get in town early enough last night to head to Evanston and see your Terps lose at the buzzer?
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't do that, but I'm not honestly super familiar with Chicago yet. We're exploring today. We're going to a coffee shop. We're doing a couple things. I'm walking around the city, and you know, there's only so much in this frigid weather you're really going to go explore right now. But, you know, I am really looking forward to, you know, some of the eatery and the different places and the history and the river and kind of everything. You know, I think my fiance Danielle and I are super excited about everything about this city. I mean, it's clean. It's, you know, the fans are great. It seems like a great spot to be. So, you know, from what I hear, it's the place to be. So I'm really, really excited to go explore.
Yeah, today's the day. They say it's going to hit 43, which is really high temperature here because it's going down to zero next couple days.
It might be colder on home opener.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope not. Oh, my gosh.
So help us out as we sit here and we talk to you about this. What is it like? I mean, you've obviously devoted yourself to baseball, and you're a young phenom, and we know that this must feel kind of inevitable to you that you're going to be there and playing in the major leagues. Do you feel like you're living your dream? Do you feel like this is going about the way you thought? You did, like we mentioned, the MVP with the Smokies. You moved to two different minor league systems in 1 year, and you keep exceeding expectations. And now it looks like they've even cleared out a spot for you to start. And again, we know that many things can happen over the course of the next couple of months. But what is it like for you to know that you've done something to this point where your professional career is now beginning?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what you dream of as a young kid. You know, I always had a lot of belief, you know, that things would eventually work themselves out, you know, no matter how rocky the past may be and ups and downs. And there were plenty, you know, in high school and as a younger kid. And you know, I started to build some momentum pretty early on, which is obviously great. But, you know, as much as you could never ever guess where you're going to end up and what your timeline's going to be and all that stuff, you know, just sitting here now, just a few months before the season starting, and, you know, especially being here in Chicago and looking at this city, you know, it's really obviously super exciting. And I feel really, really blessed to be here. And so, you know, there's nothing but good vibes over here and looking forward to the season starting and obviously, you know, I do feel really, really thankful for how everything worked out, you know, for me being in a position to hopefully play in the major leagues with the Cubs, for, you know, hopefully being in a position that there is an opportunity to play third base. You know, I don't think everyone has that coming up through the minor leagues. You know, things happen, you get traded, you know, people come in. And of course, that's always still may happen at times. But, you know, I think that this opportunity in this place where I'm at, you know, mentally and physically and, you know, emotionally, really, is just a really good spot. So, you know, I'm really excited. I know my family's excited and my fiance's excited, and, you know, it's a good position to be in for sure.
Enjoy every minute of the weekend. Welcome to town, and yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun.
Great talking to you, Matt.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Nice chatting.
That is Matt Shaw, Cubs prospect.
What a nice young guy.
What a great time in his life to be here in Chicago. Terrific. Getting ready for the convention, having a position that seems like it's his. Now, listen, the guy can play a lot of different places. You know, when you're at that age, you just want to be on a major league team. It's incredible.
He's going to be part of the future in some way, shape, or form.
23 years old.
Yeah,
man,
I know.
I mean, that's a young man. Remember when you started your major league career? It was a little bit beyond that, I think. So,
a little bit.
Great to have a Wunderkind in town and get a chance to talk to him. All right, we're going to bring in our buddy Mike Palm next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm. Vice President of Operations of Circa, The D, and Golden Gate.
Vegas! Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Twitter, at MikePalmCirca.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that? Vegas?
Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the sun don't shine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. We got our own open now from Mike Palm. How about that?
How about the Score
Hotline is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. And there we find the man himself, Mike Palm, joins us. Michael, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. I tell you, Mitch Rosen spares no expense with the production costs. Amazing.
It's great. Now you have an open. Now you got to deliver. That's pressure.
Yeah. Are you going to the national championship game?
No, I'm not. We're going to be sold. We're sold out in the book. There's not a seat available at Circa. So
wow.
If I would have gone, I would have gone to the Orange Bowl in Miami, because I think that would have been an even more special atmosphere, a game that if they played their best, they could win. I'm not sure if they play their best game on Monday night, they could win.
Really? Are you doubting Notre Dame? Are you picking Ohio State? Because there's the
personal and there's the business, right?
Which is leading, heart or head?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I sat through the Alabama National Championship game at the Long Bar at the D. So, I mean, there's still wounds from that.
Different story, different season, different team.
Well, who are you going to take away on this team? You're going to take away two? You're going to take away four? You got two backs that are probably two of the top five backs of the country. I mean, they threw the ball to 17 in Dallas when they decided to take away Smith. I mean, I just don't know how you can shut down the options. Ohio State got away with playing a very sloppy game against Texas. Three offensive penalties in the first half that stopped three different drives. I thought they were bad in the red zone outside of the final 2 minute sequence where they got the big tackle for loss on the pitch. Ohio State has to make those kind of mistakes for Notre Dame to be able to win this game. If they both play their best, Ohio State, 10, 12 points better.
Yeah, I don't argue with that, Mike. I think that what's interesting to me is that there are similarities between the teams, good running backs, good defense, transfer quarterbacks that are God squatters. There are things that are similar, but I don't think Notre Dame can answer the wide receiver problem. And I think that that's going to be what will determine the game. If they try to play the way they did against Michigan, Notre Dame is in much better shape than if they spread things out and do the Chip Kelly thing like they should.
Well, we have to, you would have to hope that there's some sort of freeze out in Atlanta and no power as well, and it gets to be, 15 degrees in Mercedes-Benz. watching the last drive of the first half in the Orange Bowl when Leonard hit his head, Steve Angeli, I mean, they brought in Hartman to play in front of him, and they brought in Leonard to play in front of him. This guy made seven perfect throws on that drive, including the ball he threw away out of bounds when everyone was covered. Riley Leonard didn't make one pass that whole game that was better than any of the seven throws of Angeli. In my heart of hearts, I hope Freeman has some packages that he can use Angeli when they need to push the ball down the field. Now, I know Angeli is not mobile, and Leonard is great. I mean, third and two, fourth and one. They just run him, and in Penn State, it was a great defense, couldn't stop him. But, you get behind, Oregon almost conceded that game, punting on fourth and one in the first half. You get behind this freight train a couple scores, and I don't know that Notre Dame can generate the kind of offense to come back.
Mm. Great stuff, Mike. Great catching up with you. Appreciate getting a chance to
enjoy
talk
the
to
game.
You on that. Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to say something positive about Chicago sports. It's hard to do right now, but UIC is 14-3 against the spread, so go Flames.
Go Flames. Well played.
How about that? That's a man who knows his business. Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations, Circa, the D, and the Golden Gate. Out in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And right now, be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line at 312-540-0670 and win four tickets to the 2025 Chicago Auto Show running February 8th to the 17th at McCormick Place. For more information, visit chicagoautoshow.com. For tickets, visit tickets.drivechicago.com.
All right, Cubs convention kicking off tonight. Ron Coomer will be with us next. We'll talk to the Coom Dog, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.